sit in trenches full of mud. 'Cause war has always been the boss's way, sir. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, ricksmithshow.com. So today, horrible tragedy out in Anchorage, Alaska. Back-to-back earthquake 7.0, 5.7, as I understand. I'm here to give us a firsthand account of what went on and how things are. I've asked our friend Gary Dixon, Vice President of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters Local 959 out in Alaska, to come talk with us. Gary, thanks for taking time for us.
Good to hear from you, Rick. How's things with you?
Well, I'm more worried about you. What happened today? How are you? How's the family? How are things going?
It had a pretty good shake today. We was heading down the road. I was driving this morning going to work, and I was actually going to be going down to a getting ready today to go down to a membership meeting down in Homer, Alaska, and was going to fly out today. And so I was heading to work, and about halfway to work, and it felt like I had, have you ever had two flat tires in the back end of your vehicle? And
actually, yes.
It was just jumping. The back end of my truck was just jumping. I'm like, ah, crap, I cannot have a flat tire. I got to go get a plane here pretty soon. And it kept doing that and doing that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. And I kept driving, and people are pulling over, and I'm looking around. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And my back end of my truck is going up and down. And about that time, my wife called me. And I'm trying to answer the phone. And I finally get to the phone, and she's hysterical. She's crying. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? She says, we're having an earthquake. And I went, oh, my God. And so I hooked a U-turn and headed back to the house to check on her. And, it was everybody in the neighborhood was walking around outside and kind of shocked. And, of course, then I called the office to check on everybody down there. And pretty eventful day today.
Yeah, so everybody's okay, though. I mean,
everybody's okay. I haven't heard it on any of the news stations of any deaths or anything.
That's good.
Which is surprising. The damage, I saw Governor Walker, our governor, he did an interview. He was on a helicopter with the National Guard assessing some of the damages. And there's a lot of road damage. The road splitting pretty bad. There's some national TV that has shown some, one of the on ramps, you know, when you were up here, you go into the airport off Minnesota, bypass, one of the on ramps, just there's the car just sitting there and everything around it is collapsed.
Yeah, that's the image, the first image my wife told me about, you know, she's in, you know, and the whole road's gone and there's just this one car like on an island. And you go, well,
yes.
How fortunate that person was that, you know, they didn't crumble off into the Gulf.
Yeah. I mean, talking about picking the right lane, right? I mean, there's pictures coming in of out in Wasilla. You were out there. That's kind of got hit hard too. I mean, the roads out there are really split up. The main highway going out of town, going to Wasilla, you know, it's two lanes going out and two lanes coming into town, and they had to block off one of the outbound lanes, I believe it was the outbound lane, because of a huge sinkhole that took out one of the lanes and then off to the shoulder. And so they had to have it to where right now they have it to where they have one the two lanes are going out for a while. And then they'll stop it, and then the people that have been waiting for a long time, they'll get to come in, you know, maybe an hour later.
Wow.
So it's pretty good, shake here. Our office, you know, I looked around in the office, and we've got some. I didn't see any structural damage that I could see right off the top, but there was a lot of things on the floor. There's a lot of ceiling tiles all over the place. I think you've probably seen, most people have seen some of the office places in town here that's just been hit hard, you know. But the roads are, that road going out to, you know, to Potter's Marsh, going out towards Girdwood, that's all split up. It looks like somebody's taken a gigantic sledgehammer and just split that road wide open. They had a big rock fall out there in the Q Creek where it shut down the highway. So,
lots of work ahead of you.
Yeah, there's a lot of work ahead. The main thing that I'm worried, well, not the main thing. I mean, obviously, everybody was pushing and trying to, you know, we let everybody go today at work, and I think a lot of businesses did that, and getting kids from their schools was super important. You know, those poor kids at school, a lot of them probably never been through something that strong, you know, and there were some scared kids, so there's that. I mean, obviously, that's number one, but you know, you're looking at the overall thing, you know, Alaska, you know, Anchorage, in some ways it's like an island, you know. Yes, you can bring up goods up through Canada, some goods, you know, but it's like an island. And we depend on the port here in Anchorage. I think it's something like 80% of the goods that come through for Alaska come through the port of Anchorage. It was fragile before this. I mean, it was fragile before this. I'm going to be interested to hear what the assessment is by the city and by the state, maybe, on what the outcome of after this earthquake of what the Port of Anchorage looks like.
Yeah, have you guys had earthquakes before? I mean, you know, or is this one of the biggest ones you guys have had?
No, we've had earthquakes. I mean, we've had, you know, obviously the most famous one is the 1964 earthquake that we had. That was I think it was like the second most highest one in the world. It was a 9.2.
Wow.
It totally destroyed downtown Anchorage. Valdez had the tsunami that came in and just cleaned that town right out. So we had the 9.2 in 1964, which was devastating. And I think there was something like 140, 150 deaths in that. But thank God we haven't heard anything yet of anybody having any problems here on this one. But there are some. We get earthquakes here and there, you know. I don't know if I'd say we were California in earthquakes, but we get our earthquakes. But
right.
I'll tell you, the aftershocks on these things so far, you know, they've been 5.7, 5.1. I mean, and there's been, I think the last time I saw, there's something over 100 aftershocks so far.
Wow.
And it's scary. You know, you sit there and you don't know when it's going to stop or when the next one's coming.
Yeah, and what's coming down on your head? You know, from a policy perspective, is there any way to mitigate some of these risks? I mean, is this just such a massive event that, you know, you can't plan for what's inevitably going to happen?
You know, there's always something that you can plan for when it happens. You know, take, for example, Alaska Pipeline. They run the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. You know, they have a huge, thick book that they go through for all these types of things of what's happened. My understanding, I checked on it this morning, was they immediately shut all the valves, all the remote gates, and they shut down the Trans-Alaska Pipeline for 7 hours today. I don't think they kicked back up until about 3:30 is when they turned it back on. But yeah, you can plan for some stuff, but if you don't know what you're going to get, you can only be prepared so much.
Right. But, you know, because this is the reason I bring it up is because, you know, recently both the House and the Senate passed this National Earthquake Hazard Reduction Program Reauthorization Act. It's now sitting on Trump's desk. And, you know, I'm looking at this and, you know, we're at a moment where, you know, it seems like, you know, we're mocking worst case scenarios and calling them radical and not fact based and all this stuff. And I'm going, you know, don't we plan for worst case scenarios? And if anything less happens, we go dodged a bullet. At least that's what I think. I mean, you know, I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, I think you can plan for stuff and you can have stuff set aside. Not everything's always the same.
Sure.
You know, especially earthquakes. I mean, earthquakes are one thing. Climate change, I'm not an expert, but that might be a little bit different, you know.
No, I'm just saying this idea that, you know, when we start planning for, you know, we don't, when we build really tall buildings, we put, you know, extra supports in so they don't come toppling over.
Right.
And, you know, we try and do things. I mean, you're right. An earthquake, you can try all you want. It's going to do what it's going to do. But, you know, you at least try, right?
Right, you do. And I think, now, Rick, don't hold me to this, but 1964, I wasn't here yet. And I believe after that 64 earthquake, they set in, and over the years, the city has brought in more strict building codes for earthquake, the earthquake zones, or there's certain parts of, say, like Anchorage that they have more of a, I don't know what you call it, more of a more likelihood to have more damage for whatever geological reasons. So they have certain building codes that they got to have more stringent on how it's built.
A little more flexible, so it'll move a little bit.
Yeah, so it'll move. Yeah, it more likely it's probably cost a little bit more, but that's what you got to deal with when you live in an area that has earthquakes.
Yeah. And
you know,
but I'm sure it's, you know, one of these things that, you know, just kind of puts the scare into you, and now the hard part is the cleanup, and, you know, how do you see this going forward? Because, you know, it's interesting you said that, you know, the Port of Alaska there is where, you know, the majority of your stuff comes through, and, you know, from that point, you know, it goes out to the rest of the state. Your roads are pretty badly beat up.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, like today, real quick, today the grocery stores, a lot of the grocery stores are closed because all the stuff's fallen off the shelves. So there's only a few grocery stores in this town. Our town's probably a town of about 300,000 to 350,000. And so people are going to those couple grocery stores and running them out of all their goods, and people are going to be stocking up and doing all this stocking up, which they should. But the problem is that we only get ships in on Sundays and Tuesdays. And these stores up here don't have huge stock rooms, you know. And that kind of starts making you think, well, if everybody's going to go out there and get all this stuff, then, you know,
yeah,
we don't deplete our stuff.
No, it's a good point. So is there something that, you know, we should be doing on the federal level to help make sure that people get access to clean water, to, you know, food, to the things that you guys need?
Well, it's, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, Alaska has all this snow and has the opportunity to get, you know, good water. In fact, what Wally Hickel, the governor of Alaska, years ago tried to do a water pipeline down to California years ago, and everybody thought he was off his rocker. Well, now it looks pretty smart. What we need is to have that Port of Anchorage to be more solid. There's people that don't want to go down there. You know, we represent longshoremen down there, and they don't want to go up in those cranes. You know, they're worried about the safety of it down there, and it's all coming down to dollars.
Yeah.
And it's a huge, it is. It's as close to an island as you can get.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was saddened to see the images, and immediately my wife and I were both thinking of you and our friends there at the Teamsters Local 959 and all the people that we've met, and, you know, all the people who were so gracious and so generous with us while we were out there, and hoping that they were okay and their families were okay. And I'm glad to hear that everything's, you know, okay so far, and that that everyone's well.
Yeah, it's as far as, you know, like I said, we haven't heard any big numbers coming in with people, any deaths at all. It's just a lot of people rattled, you know.
But
you know, there's there's roads that are split open and all that can get repaired. You know, there may be some buildings with some damage that can get repaired. The nice thing is we haven't heard anybody loss of life.
Yeah. If there's anything that we can do to help, Gary, please reach out to us. Let us know. Wishing you and everyone there the best. And like I said, anything we can do, please let us know.
Rick, I appreciate that very, very much. I just would like to say one last thing. We, the members at Local 959, the shop stewards that were there when you came up to speak to them, has been a huge hit with them. And I see these shop stewards off and on when I go around the state of Alaska seeing people. And I ask them always, well, what do you think about the shop steward school? And they really liked your speech and what you were talking about. So I wanted to just say thank you very much. And I'm planning and hoping that we will have you for future speeches to our shop stewards and hopefully to others up here.
That'd be great. I appreciate it, Gary. But again, best to you and your members. I wish you nothing but luck and the best. And like I said, let me know if anything we can do.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
Good stuff. Gary Dixon, Vice President there of IBT Local 959. And look, we had a great time when we were there. Just fantastic people. You know, even the people where we had disagreed politically had a very good conversation. Had very, you know, very cordial, friendly, just great people. I love the folks there. I'm going to take a quick break right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Stop. We're the first ones to die. The first ones in line for that pie in the sky. And we're always the last when the cram is shed out. For the worker is working when the fat taps above. We're the first ones to stop. We're the first ones to die.
I'm Rick Smith. And this is Labor History in Two.